Daniel chapter 10. The book of Daniel chapter 10. If you remember a few weeks ago, I preached a message on the revival of strength. And in that message, I kind of came to a point I had to quit. And well, there's a lot more preaching there. And I was just praying throughout the week and just asking God for some direction for Sunday night. And I feel to revisit, continue in that thought, but going in another direction, if you know what I mean. So, I know some people ain't much for a series of messages, but I promise you this, I can't tell you what I believe in 10 minutes, nor 45. There's some subjects you could not exhaust them in a year. Amen. Jonathan Edwards, the men that used to preach, read their sermons, they would study 60 or 70 hours for one sermon. Now, you just put it together how long it took them to get it out. Amen. I know our endurance is, I know 45 minutes is about the climax of it. I'm mindful of that. But just the book of Daniel tonight, chapter 10. And I'm gonna still deal with this idea of strength because I just feel it in my spirit that this is an area in this church and every life I believe all of us can draw some understanding from. But the book of Daniel, chapter 10, and we're not going to deal with prophecy, so to speak. I know this kind of gets into a prophetic message, but we're going to just start reading in verse 7. And this is what it says, Daniel 10 and verse 7, and if you're there, give me an amen. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of His words, and when I heard the voice of His words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And we're going to skip over to verse 16. And this is what it says. The story, Daniel here is kind of conversing with an angel, is what many believe. But in verse 16 it says this, and beheld one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong, and when ye have spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Amen. And we're going to just continue that thought the other day about a revival of strength. And we're going to kind of continue that thought a little further to more of a personal application to the church and maybe to the world. Amen. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your kindness. And we thank You for all that You do, God, for this church. We thank You for the body of Christ. We thank You for the opportunity of hearing Your Word, dear Jesus. Lord, we understand tonight that Your Word is what builds our faith. And God, if we cannot find an interest in Your Word, we cannot survive as a believer. I would tonight, God, You would help us, Holy Ghost. I ask You for unction, a touch, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come by this service and move, Lord. I know many may be tired or tired in body. It's been a busy weekend. But Lord, as I'm preaching about strength, strengthen. As I'm preaching about strength tonight, give us strength to do Your service, to go forth and do the will of God. In Jesus' name, I do love You. And everybody said, amen. When we come to Daniel chapter 10, it's a very interesting text. When you begin to study throughout the book of Daniel, a lot of it is really at times hard to understand. Amen. You begin to understand the prophecies and the visions in which he came to. But we understand here that he had a vision. We can look here at the life of Daniel and know that he was a man of faithfulness. And there we believe that he had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in verse 5, he said, and I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine coat of Ephes. His body was like bone, and his eyes eyes as lamps of fire. We believe that He had a picture of a vision of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And it's very similar. If you read through the book of Revelations, we'll find that a very similar vision shows up when John sees the Lord Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. But a few things that we can glean from this today, and I would say this before we go any further, that we understand that a true, glorious vision of the Lord Jesus Christ would affect you. Amen. It's amazing. We often say it that the charismatic see Jesus every day and they're never changed or they're never affected by it or they're never maneuvered on in their spirit to do more. But every time you read throughout Scripture, when they had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ or even angels, many times they fell down flat on their face. They fell down in homage and reverence and it really drained the life out of them. Amen. It was something that really took the very breath from their body. They could not believe what they were seeing. Amen. It'd be all right if we sing that again. Amen. Get a real vision of Jesus to where it would really drive us to our knees and drive us to our faith. But we understand here that Daniel seen this vision. And when he had this vision, it fell down. And he said this, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me. Understand, this is Daniel. This is a picture, so to speak. And I want to apply it to us. This is a picture of a weariness in ministry. Understand, all of us here today, as we talked about this morning, there is a purpose, there is a calling, there's an initiation in your spirit that God has put something within you to be a testimony, to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you would have to agree with me today. There's times you go through parts in life of weariness. There's times you go through different areas where you know there's more you desire to do. You know there's more places you desire to go. You would like to share your testimony more. You would like to be more effective. Amen? I don't know about you, I guess ineffective bothered me more than anything. I can't stand preaching and nothing happening. I'm talking to myself, amen. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, there's sometimes you're preaching with a high anointing, and there's other times you're preaching by faith, amen. There's sometimes you feel it, and there's sometimes you don't. But understand today, friend, when they're in ministry, there's a constant warfare in seeking direction in ministry. You have to say amen to that. There's times if you're really being fervent for God, there's a constant spiritual warfare. There's a constant bombardment against from the enemy. There's a constant struggle with the flesh to do the will of God. I mean, amen. If you're not struggling at all, never feel that turmoil between flesh and spirit, I dare say you're not doing too much. Amen. You would read throughout Scripture and find man of God after man of God, prophet after prophet that went through depressions, that had fought the enemy that was constantly in this warfare. But here Daniel is doing the will of God, and God has a message He is wanting to get to Daniel. There's something He's trying to show him. Daniel is on, if I'm not mistaken, a 21 day fast, so to speak, where there was nothing precious such as bread, no special thing came into his mouth. He is setting himself aside for ministry. He is preparing himself to get a vision and direction from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God went to impart that vision to him, he was not spiritually able to receive it. I dare say today that there's things God desires to do in every life here, that if God really was to do it, it would override the circuits of your system. It would really put more on you than you could bear. There'd be things God really desires to do in a community that if God was really to impart that to us, it would be such a burden that we would have no choice but to fall on our face and ask for mercy and ask for strength. Understand, friend, today, God has a message for every individual in this room, for this church, and for this community, that He wants to see something happen. He wants to see miracles, amen. We want to see demons cast out. We want to see people born again. There's things that God desires to do, but the question is this, do you have the capacity to receive it? Amen? I know it's been sounding hard, but hear me. I'm talking, this is just pastor the church. Ain't a lot of visitors here, not just a few, but you're welcome. Praise God. Understand that there's things God desires to do. But here when he has this vision of Jesus, all of a sudden Daniel falls down and he says this, there remained no strength in me, neither any breath in me. He was not spiritually strong enough to receive it. There was not enough capacity there that he could contain what God was trying to show him. He was not there. The room was not there. He did not have the spiritual energy. He did not have the spiritual motivation. And then he was driven to his face. But the Bible says in verse 16, he said, behold, one like the similitude of men touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord,
by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Daniel was able to see, catch a glimpse of what God was trying to show him. He was able to catch a glimpse of what the children of Israel were going to face, and even futuristic things that we would not have time to go over tonight. And it literally overrode his circuits. It drove him crazy. And when he to the place that he was driven to his knees, and he said, "My Lord, I have no more strength within me." But the Bible says, for he says, "For how can the servant of my Lord talk with me of my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength to me, neither any breath left to me." But he goes on to say this, and the man touched him. He said, when he touched him, he said unto me, "O greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee." I don't know about you, do you need peace when doing ministry? Do you need peace when you're going in your job? Do you need peace when you're going in your household? We need peace to do the will of God. If not, it affects your prayer life. If not, it affects everything you do. When there's not peace in your spirit, when there's not that quietness that we seek after, and you have to have that quietness with the Spirit of God to work in you, and it can be attained through prayer. But he said, "Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong." And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened, and I said, "Let my Lord speak, for he has strengthened me." So this is how I picture it. Daniel praying. He's down there just moaning. He's asking God for strength. God has something He's trying to show him. And all of a sudden when that strength came, he says, look, he hopped up and he said, "Lord, now you can speak here what you want to speak, because I feel the strength of heaven." I would tonight that in this very service that somebody would get such a touch of God that we could stand up with our hearts and our spirits towards heaven and say, "God, I'm ready to receive now. God, I'm ready to hear from heaven. God, I'm ready to hear from you. God, I'm ready to hear what the will of God is for my life." You need to be strengthened to receive that. Often people say, you come to church, they say, "I'm so empty." No, you're not, you're full. Amen? Full of something. You know, there's something that's on your mind. It's time I come to church and there's so many things going on in my mind. If you're not careful, you've got to learn to separate this world and separate the spiritual and let the spiritual have preeminence. And that's what Daniel did here. He stood up and said, "Let my Lord speak," because the Lord has strengthened me. When he said this, he has strengthened me in men. He strengthened him in body and in mind. And it was something he was ready to receive the deep and secret things of God. And he said to them, "Be strong, yea, be strong." He was saying, "Pull up your spirits, be of good courage." He was saying, "Be strong," twice, to let him know, be strong. As I said the other week, be strong is a commandment. Now hear me today, friend. Because he said this, he said, "I am ready to receive." There are deep and secret things in God that many men never reach. Amen. There are areas in the will of God. I think it was D.L. Moody that said it like this. He said, "It is yet to be seen a man, woman, boy, or girl who is completely sold out to the will of God." I've seen a lot of good preachers. I've read about a lot of good missionaries. And apart from Jesus Christ, what he was saying, there's yet to be a man, maybe Paul would be another great example, that has completely yielded every fiber of his body and mind to the will of God. So here, Daniel had to be strengthened that he could receive what God was trying to show him. I'm telling you, friend, from every man, woman, boy, and girl, you need to understand, you need to ask the Holy Ghost to broaden your capacity, to broaden your mind, to broaden your spiritual avenues of your soul, that the Holy Ghost can flow through you and do more in your life and show this world more and be in operation in every avenue of your life. We often take the foundation of Christianity, or the primary things of Christianity, and make them the climax. I've heard people say for years, "I am saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost." That's just the beginning. Amen? That's not the climax of your experience. That is just the primary foundation of your experience. What about the 9 gifts of the Spirit? Amen? Now this is an examine yourself message. There's 9 gifts. And Paul says to desire those gifts. But the problem is this, I have learned already over the years, you've got to broaden your capacity spiritually. You've got to ask God for strength to understand. You've got to hit the Word harder. You've got to hit the prayer closet harder. And there's times, I know we don't like doing it all the time, but you've got to fast more.
Talking to me, all of us. I remember the first time the Lord used me in the gifts of tongues and interpretation. And I still believe in it. Amen. I'm asking God to do it all here. I told her, I think it was some of the young ladies out there when I said, I live with God, just use all of you. Amen. I remember seeing other people using the gift. But me, myself, I didn't understand it. It was something that was such a mystery to my mind that if you're not careful, you reject it. But I remember one time I went on a fast for X amount of days for the gifts of the Spirit, and I'll never forget the service I was in that I felt an unction from the Holy God of heaven. I felt something burning in my spirit, and really it was something that just completely took control of my body. And there I felt the uttering of the Spirit of God, and I felt the interpretation. I can't put in all the words to make everybody understand it, but I know what it was. God strengthened me and gave me more spiritual capacity that I could do what the will of God was.
Amen. Peter and John says, such as I have, I give ye. You can't give what you don't have. That makes sense? If you don't have $100, you can't give it to nobody. It's just, this is same thing spiritually. You've got to have the possession of it. You've got to let the capacity be there. And then out of that capacity, rivers of living water can flow. And we need God to strengthen us in this area. Now moving along in this message, I want you to understand this as well. We also need strength to produce. Amen? I'll read through the book of Hebrews, and you'll find in Hebrews 11:11, it says this, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, being she judged him faithful who promised. You need that strength. Amen? To produce. And it said, when she was past age. Now I'm talking to the elders of the church. God still can use you. Amen? If we ain't careful, sometimes we'll feel that our life is spent. We feel that our life is already at its climax. I'm telling you, friend, God can still use you and do things to you. It says when she was past age that God gave her strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I'm not trying to take this out of context, so to speak, but also I believe we need that strength to see people truly born again. Born again. That's a real experience. I worry about people that get saved and just don't hang on in a few weeks. I just worry. When I got born again, it was real. I went down to the altar, certain addictions on drugs, certain different addictions, and they'll get scared. I'm all right. Amen. I ain't going to steal nothing from you. I promise. Amen. I'm born again. Amen. I went down to the altar, and all I can say is this, I got born again. I went to a youth retreat in Pennsylvania. I didn't really understand it all. I mean, I had hair down to my nose. I wore a big old chain. I mean, I acted like a thug. You wouldn't have recognized me. Had different things going on in my life. Was strung out in different areas. And all of a sudden, I went to that altar. I felt the Holy Ghost draw me. It wasn't that a preacher said anything. I just felt the Holy Ghost say, come. I went down there. I prayed through. I can't explain it. You said, did you have a battle? Yes, I did. But when I went home, I was living all by myself. My roommate done left me with all the bills and everything. Just a little frustrated, upside down on life. Had bald tires on my car. I didn't know what I was going to do. Couldn't pay my bills. But I looked over and there was a Bible. And I said, well, if I ain't got nowhere else to look but up. I said, I'm pretty sure I got saved the other day. I said, I don't know much about this. I knew there was a change. But I had a desire. That was the difference. I had a God-given desire to serve Him. Compared to every other time I got saved, I would get saved and get out, get saved and get out. I got baptized 7 times at youth camp. That's what I tell them at the jailhouse. I got baptized at 6. I said, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. We just wanted to go swimming. But when I got born again, during that service, I felt the strength of God come into me. I felt something that was from another world. I got up from there and I made my mind up. And the last, I think it's time number 8, I got baptized a minute. Amen.
a minute. And I'm still serving God. So understand, church, we also need strength to produce. Listen, everybody in this room, because these are mainly the faithful, hear me. When you come to these altars, when somebody's in these altars and we're praying with them, you need to pray throughout the week that if that occurs, that you'll have the spiritual capacity to see him delivered or see him pray through. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, thank God for a few people that were prayed up. Amen. Like I said before, some were saying, send the rain. Others saying, send the fire. Some said, knock them down, pull them up, twist them. I didn't know what to do. I was just raising my hands asking God. I didn't understand it. I didn't want to seek for the tongue so much. But I remember seeking for the power. And there God met me. And there He filled me. And there I felt the impartation to do the will of God, to go forward in ministry. And it's been that strength that has kept me. We need strength to produce. Somebody comes to those doors demon-possessed off the streets. It happens. I'd like to take you to Africa. It happens. And the problem here in America, they're just a little more subliminal. Amen. You don't know if you're dealing with demons or depression medicine. I mean, you're trying to discern everything. It's difficult. It is. You're trying to work through different medications. I mean, I understand there's some things that are necessary, but understand this. I've been down in the altars and realized somebody didn't have the will. I've seen people that didn't have the strength, so to speak. But I will tell you, there's been times that I've seen the strength of God come by, and it was nothing to do with Derek Jones, but it was all the power of God. And there seemed chains broke, seemed fetters let loose, seemed people delivered, all in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all because He gave it to us. When we were in Africa there, I don't know how many weeks we were already there, but I went to a certain service, and this has nothing to do with me or Holly. It's all the Spirit of God. I may have told some before. I don't know if I've told it here or not. We went to a certain service and preached, and during the altar call, I could tell there was a girl laying on the floor that was raving, and I knew. I said, "Oh Lord, I know what this is. I've seen it before, and I've dealt maybe with other preachers with it before, but this time it was almost like God saying, no, this time you do it. This time you pray. This time you seek. This time it's you. I want to use you in this." And we seen her reading on the floor and could tell that there was a possession there. I could tell that it was not of an earthly thing. And there she was on the floor. Her eyes began to roll back in her head. She was spitting and everything else. I mean, just heat, witch doctors and different things in that area. It would blow your mind. And then what the church members began to do, they tied her up. I thought to myself, that can't be right. They tied her legs up, and I'm not making this up. This is a real experience. They tied her hands and tied her legs. And I said, "Well, this ain't good." And she's there, and she's bending her back and doing all sorts of stuff. And I'm sitting there, and all I can say is this. I felt strength. I felt a supernatural strength. And it wasn't for me to put my name on a sign anywhere. And it wasn't strength for me to put it on the side of a vehicle or on a billboard. It was Christ wanting to receive glory in that service. And there, long story short, we seen that young lady delivered. I pleaded the blood of Jesus, and the interpreter said to me, he said, "The demon is saying, I'm leaving, I'm getting out." And at the end of the service, they gave the young girl a microphone to testify, and little did I know, and this is honest to God testimony, that when she came in that service, she was a deaf woman, she had a deaf spirit, and she left there and could hear. How did it happen, Brother Derek? I don't have 10 steps of deliverance. I felt the strength of God. Hear me, friends. We need the strength to produce. It doesn't matter. You say, "Brother Derek, I don't know if I believe in that." Read your Bible. Live, pray, and ask God for the capacity. And there God will revelate to you things that you would never think that was possible. Now hear me today, friends. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 34, we know the story. This is Paul. He's on a ship. It's about to go into a storm that's called Euroclydon. And we know that Paul is kind of taking the lead role. He's giving directions unto the crew. He said, "Wherefore I pray to you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you that are on this ship." What Paul is saying here, he's saying, "There is a storm that is coming. I can see the clouds on the horizon. I know that it's coming this way."
It's going to be a big storm. He was saying, you need to take and eat meat and get your strength.
Hear me, church. There's a storm that's coming. There is. I know we're looking for the miraculous U-turn somewhere. I don't see it happening. And I'm praying that it will. I would love to see a third great awakening. I would. I would love to see something all of a sudden in America, in this world, take a U-turn to the better and all this, but it's going to, and it's going to be at the millennial reign. The boat is going where God desires it to go. Matter of fact, you'll find here that Paul said they let her ride. They've turned loose of the steering wheel and gave it to God. And He's saying unto them, take some meat, for this is for your health. And when they did this, after they had taken the meat, they were able to lighten the ship. They were able to pull up the anchors. And not only that, they were able to hold on till they got to the shoreline. All because they took direction. Now we would understand throughout the Bible, meat is a type of the Word of God. We would find in Hebrews 5:12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such have need of milk and not of strong meat. North Carolina terms, you're still in the bottle. Amen? You're still needing milk. Understand, milk is a picture. We also find in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Paul was saying, I would have gave you something that would have helped you if you had the capacity to retain it. But understand, milk in the Bible is the full work. It is of a nourishing nature. It is being easy of digestion. It ain't hard to digest milk. Amen. Maybe with a cookie in front of it. But it's not hard. You drink milk, don't you? But understand, strong meat is such as the deep things of God and the mysteries of the gospel. It takes a mature system to digest that. You cannot take a newborn baby and give them a ribeye steak. First of all, they can't chew it. Second of all, I don't know what it would do maybe to the body. I don't know if only how they would digest it. I'm not sure. But you give them milk and later on they're nurtured into partaking of deeper things. Where are we spiritually? Everybody examine yourself. Is God having to give you the bottle? Or can He put prime rib on the table? Just an example. Trying to get you to understand. You said, Brother Derek, I don't always understand what you're preaching. Look, there's times I'm going to give you a bologna sandwich. There's times we're going to serve steak. Amen. There's a preacher in the old church we used to go to, Brother Timothy Edwards. I like to have him come through sometimes. Wonderful person. He preached one day, and an old man met him at the back door and said, I was looking for a steak, and you gave us a bologna sandwich. And Brother Timmy looked back at him. He's pretty quick. He said, if I thought you could handle a steak, and I gave you one. Amen. But if you understand what I'm saying, there comes a place, if we've been in church 20, 15, 10, even 5 years, or 30, 40 years, there comes a place that spiritual maturity must arise. If not, there's a problem. If you have a 5-year-old that doesn't grow, you take him to the doctor. You do. And you say, something's wrong. He's not growing. There's something maybe wrong with his system. Doctor, I want you to figure this out. If there's Christians that never grow, we need to go to the great physician. And figure out, God, I'm wanting to grow in you. Hear me today, friends, because this is important. It says, that, I want you to understand this. When you consume something, Paul is telling them, take, eat this, and it'll be strength in your body. For something to become a strength to you, you first must digest it. It doesn't do me no good to preach the Word if it's never digested. I'm one of those that I'm not always going to blame it on the preacher. There's times I remember years ago, a young man texted me, he said, I'm just not getting fed here anymore at a certain church. And I've been there some powerful services. And I text back just underneath a kind and being cordial. I said, there's food there, friend, you're not eating.
I've heard good messages. There have been good revivals. There's been sermons that have preached. There's been enough preaching, for us to, digest it. Let it become a part of you. Digest it. Don't let it choke you, but learn to chew it up. Learn to swallow the word. Let it become a part of you that you can withstand the storm that is coming. Now, if these men did not eat this food, I can picture them out there. Maybe a man hanging onto a board, malnourished. And saying, man, I wish I'd ate more the other day. Didn't know it was going to be this long. Understand. Eat. Let it become a part of you that we can survive in these last days. When we looked at the book of Revelation chapter 3, and I won't be a whole lot longer. It says unto this, he's talking to the Sardis church, the church of Sardis. And he said, unto the angel of the church that is in Sardis write, these things saith he, that the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know their works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. And that's a pretty bad thing. And it goes on to say this, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Understand this, he was talking to a church that was on the decline, and I'm talking about the church world as a whole. Friend, look around, as a whole throughout this world, not all of the churches on the decline, I know that, but there's a lot of different things going on that you can see almost a spiritual declining. And the Lord says to them, and this is red writing, he says, strengthen that which remains. First he tells them, he says, thou livest and art dead. We would understand that Sardis was populated by unredeemed, unregenerate people. That's what they were populated with. And the only thing they could focus on was on the things that they used to have. Now I often say this, I go places and I've been places and they always talk about what used to happen. And I often use this example. I said, if you're freezing in the woods, it does you no good to talk about the fire you used to have. You're dying now. Amen? It would be pointless for it to be 20 degrees outside. And I take somebody that comes along and points to a pile of ashes and say, boy, it used to be hot. But it's cold. Amen? So understand this, friend. There has to be a kindling in our life. There has to be a fire that is ignited. Pretty much what Paul and what Jesus was saying, it was this, that they are ready to die. He says, strengthen those that remain. He was saying they're almost dead, but they're not yet. Hear me. I remember Brother Neff, I think it was last week, talking about that plant. And I went by it a few times this week. My wife said last night, you're supposed to be watering this. I said, it got a double portion last week. I don't know. I'm confused. So I'm a little confused about it. But when you walk past it, Brother Neff walked past, he noticed it was still alive, but it needed to be strengthened. So they put water on it. And there it goes to the roots. There it feeds the leaves and different things. But understand here what the Lord was saying. He was saying, strengthen that which remains. He was saying, look, it's not all over yet. Strengthen it. Before you write them off, won't you try encouraging? Before we give up on this world, why don't we look for those things that still have some breath in it? Before we write, I mean, understand this, friend, because we must strengthen that which remains. He was letting us know this has to be done. He says, look around. I know it looks bad. I know that things are going out. I know things are flickering. But you can still find something and strengthen it. Church, strengthen that which remains. We can look at a world that's completely going away from God. I know that. But I'm not. You're not. We're still here. We're still serving God. Let's strengthen that which remains. It was almost like Sardis was a flickering star that was about to maybe flicker out. He was a star in the hands of Jesus Christ. And he's telling them, he was telling the pastor of this church, he was telling those that we had an ear to listen. He was saying, look, there's still hope. There's still hope, church. There's still hope. Hear me today. There's still life there. Strengthen it. We often talk about, hear me friend, and I won't be too much long, understand. We often talk about the word Holy Ghost throughout the Bible. And that word power. You know what that word power in Hebrew means? And many of you probably know. Dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite from. But we often focus on the first part of that definition where it says this, the word dunamis or power from the Holy Ghost means miraculous power. It means ability. It means abundance. It means mighty. It means miracles. It means power. But there's a latter part of that definition that means strength. The Holy Ghost not only comes to empower us and to do miraculous things, He comes to strengthen you. I know it's very seldom we do something like this, but pray. Ask God for strength. We usually look for miracles, we usually look for this, but ask God for strength. Understand this. That's why in 2 Timothy 1:14, it says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Brother Derek, how am I going to make it? The Holy Ghost can keep you. Brother Derek, I see the storm coming. Eat. Here it is, friends. There's very few times you go to a buffet that's open all the time. Amen? I know we got some Golden Crowd fans in here. That's a good buffet, isn't it? It is. But it ain't 24/7. But hey, this is get sweeter as the days go by. Take, eat. It's coming, church. Stand to your feet. The storm's coming. I encourage you today. Eat. Be strong. Let the Holy Ghost strengthen you. Let Him move in your life. As my wife comes to the piano, we would understand, like I said, throughout Scripture, we find many times that God desired to strengthen. There's times that God looked at His people and He sent the Holy Ghost by, not only to do miracles, but there's times He'll give you the capacity to retain and receive. I'm encouraging, church, everybody underneath the sound of my voice. I want you to go home throughout this week and pray and ask God to broaden your spiritual boundaries. God, I know there's more. God, I know there's more. And Lord, I realize it's easy to get full on the things and the cares of this life. But Lord, broaden my capacity. I want to see things happen, church, just from my heart. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually. I'm not content doing nothing. And I know we're doing a lot. I believe that spiritually. We're reaching. I know that. But as a personal individual, I can only speak for myself. I see this world and my spirit moans with compassion. I went to that church last week and preached a revival last weekend. And like I mentioned, Wednesday night, you see them, I think they run maybe 10 people. It's just a handful left. But the sister of that church, Sister Hayden, every Saturday, she gets up at 9 in the morning. She takes her two girls and she goes down to the Agape Pregnancy Center, which is right across the street from abortion clinic. And every day for years, she sits out there with tracts and she begs women as they're walking into the abortion clinic, come get a free ultrasound. That baby's alive. You know what she's doing? She's strengthening that which remains. She could focus on the negative. Brother Hayden, they don't have a van yet. They're striving to get a van in the future to pray in. Takes his personal vehicle and goes down in the slums of that city and takes men that live in tents underneath the bridge, brings them to the house of God. And he's trying to preach and teach to them. You know why? He's trying to strengthen that which remains. He's searching. He's looking. I read a story years ago, and we'll pray. But on 9/11, I may have told it here, I can't remember, but on 9/11, we know that great tragic event. I mean, it was a horrible thing. I remember the day where I was. Tragic. I can remember it just like yesterday. Many of you do as well. But the fire rescue, those that were looking for survivors in the day of 9/11,
was looking around, and 27 hours later, after the towers collapsed, they were still searching. Walking through the rubble, pulling back things, had different equipment out there listening, had hearing enhancers, trying to hear somebody. Are you alive? Is anybody okay? Is everybody all right? But 27 hours after the Twin Towers had collapsed, there was a woman by the name of Janelle McMillan who was on the 60th floor of the second building. Ran all the way down, and when she got to the 13th floor, she said she heard what sounded like a million bowling balls coming down the steps behind her. And she said instantly, it went black. She laid there and she said all she knows, she was pinned to the ground. She felt something soft behind her head. Later to come to find out it was another body of a human. She said laying there in that darkness, she heard the screams of people moaning and groaning. She said, and she heard them screams fade away into the silence. She said that she couldn't move but one arm, but she was praying. She hadn't been saved. She hadn't been faithful serving the Lord Jesus Christ and lived a promiscuous life. But she said she learned to pray while laying in that darkness. And she said all of a sudden, all she knows is that she thought she heard something. She couldn't explain it. She said, but she kept reaching up. She put her hand back down. No more strength left in her. As Janelle kept reaching up. But one of those times she reached up, a hand grabbed it. A man by the name of Paul said, I'm here to help you. She said she'll never forget his voice. It was as the voice of an angel. She said, I didn't know if I had strength to reach one more time, but I put forth the strength and did it anyhow. Janelle McMillan was the last survivor of the 9/11 tragedy. Thank God for men that kept searching. And thank God for a wounded woman that kept reaching. You know what, tonight? We need strength to search. But we also need strength, church. And hear me, I feel this in my spirit. You need strength to keep reaching. Discouragement comes, throw it up. Temptation comes, throw it up. Family tragedies, throw them up. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm just telling you what I feel in my spirit. He's here to strengthen tonight. I don't have calisthenics and I don't have a curriculum for you. He's here to strengthen you. Cry out to Him through the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. Let's just invite His presence before we go to these altars. Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Ghost, I would today that You would impart strength.